Perek Eliezer, Perek Mem Zayin. So this perek is going to be a continuation of the story of the Chet HaEgel, of the golden calf that the Jews made by Mount Sinai. But then the Iker part, the main part of the perek, is really going to be discussing the story of the Jews sinning with the Moabite and Midianite women and worshipping Baal Pa'ar, the Moabite and Midianite Avodah Zarah. So it is going to be an interesting way that the Medrash segues from the Chet HaEgel to the story of B'nai's Midian and B'nai's Moav.
Even though it was 40 years later?
Yeah. Also, another thing that we're going to focus on tonight is the parallelisms between the Chet HaEgel and the Chet of Adam Rishon by the Eitz Hadas. Because tonight is Mitzvah Shabbos, Parshas Bereishis. So we're going to see a few different points that there's similarities or different questions you can ask of similarities and different ideas that you see a convergence of the two stories in certain ways. Says the Medrash, Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch Aymer. Rabbi Elazar ben Aruch says, Kishyar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Litein Torasei LeYisrael, when Hashem descended to give his Torah to the Jews, Yardu Imai Shishim Ribay Shel Malachi Hasharis. That came down with Hashem 600,000 ministering angels. They came down with Hashem when he wanted to give the Torah to Bnei Yisrael. Kineged shishim riboy shel gibori Yisrael. These 600,000 ministering angels correspond. What? Correspond to the 600,000 Gibari Yisrael, meaning the Jewish men from the ages of 20 and 60. Those are called Gibarim. Because they're of military age. Okay, so what do these angels do? Uviadam Zenais Vatares. The angels had in their hands Zenais, or Pashas means weapons, and Atares, crowns. What are the weapons for? So the Marzu says that the weapons are to fight the Yetzer Hara, to fight evil forces, the Mazikin, etc. So the angels are going to give Bnei Yisrael weapons in order to fight those forces. I don't know exactly what this means, if it's physical weapons or some sort of spiritual weapons, or was it a sword, was it a knife, was it a gun, was it, I don't know what it was.
I heard Zion is a spear. Hayom is a cherub, no?
Zion means a sword. Zion.
There's a little handle on one end, and then it's along goes down. It's like a cherub.
Could be. I understand that it means a weapon in general. I don't know exactly which weapon and what exactly it means.
Klai
Zion means a weapon, right? So what do these angels do? V'itrus Yisrael b'chaser shema mafarish. They crown the Jews with a crown that has the shema mafarish, that has the ineffable name of Hashem on the crowns. So they give the crowns to the Jews. Chazal tell us, in Shabbos, Taf Peches, says that when Klal Yisrael said, Nasa v'nishma, that we will do what Hashem says, and we will listen to what Hashem says, because they said both expressions, they were merited to get two crowns, one for Nasa, one for Nishma. So the angels came and gave each person two crowns, one for Nasa, one for Nishma. What? Says the Medrash, Kol Oysen Hayomim, all those days, actually, also a hamaisa, until they didn't do the deed, meaning, let's say, from when they accept the Torah by Shavuos until they worship the golden calf by Yud Zayin Tammuz, those 40 days when Moshe Rabbeinu was up in Shemayim for the first time, hayutayvim lefnei Kadosh Baruch Hu mimalochei hasharis. They were better in front of Hashem than the ministering angels. Klal Yisrael was better than ministering angels. We'll have to see in a moment what that means. And the angel of death did not rule over Bnei Yisrael. Like Chazal tell us, Chorus ala luchais, that the Ten Commandments were Chorus engraved on the luchais. Al tikri Chorus, don't read it as Chorus engraved. Rather, Cherus means free. Because when Klal Yisrael got the luchos, they were free from the Malach HaMavis. So they were Loi Moshel behem Malach HaMavis. V'loi hayu yaitin l'nikveihem kivnei Adam. And they didn't have to, you know, you go to the bathroom like normal human beings. There's in the Higra edition from the Ksav Yad, there's a little bit more crude wording over here. It says v'lo hishlichu tzoya kibnei adam. They didn't release excrement like human beings. Here it just says like in yitzin l'nikvehen. A little bit more clean the expression. So Klal Yisrael was on this level that was better than Malachi Asharis, better than the ministering angels. So what does it mean that they were better than the ministering angels? How could you be better than the ministering angels? The ministering angels are like, you know, there's Hashem, and then there's like right below Hashem in terms of levels of holiness, there's the ministering angels, the Chayes HaKodesh, or Aifanim V'Chayes, and all these angels that are like mamish, they do exactly what Hashem wants. How could Klal Yisrael be better than the ministering angels? Ministering angels is the highest spiritual position that a person, that any entity could possibly be underneath Hashem. How could it be better than them? What do you guys say?
I thought we were better than them.
Huh?
We were better than them.
Right? How could the Jews?
Choice. Oh no! Oh. I'm saying no. The pastor says we are, not them. You're assuming. You're making it out. You're making the question.
Right.
They're much better, obviously, because they're angels. Right. We don't want to be angels, and we dream about angels. But there's a Gemara. I don't remember where.
There's a Gemara Sanhedrin about it also. Who's better, humans or angels? Leomi Israel also speaks about it. And he says basically the answer that you said. When we said Nasa V'Nishma, we did it of our own volition. We decided to say Nasa V'Nishma. So, and that propelled the Jews to a higher spiritual level than the angels, because it was coming from themselves. The angels are just forced to do whatever Hashem wants. So yes, they're on a high level because they do exactly what Hashem wants, but they're forced into it. There is no other option for them. But Klal Yisrael is on a higher level because they're doing what Hashem wants, and they're doing it because they want to do it. They're doing it from themselves. They're not doing it because they're forced. Yeah. What does this mean? Oh, so he said that they were free from death, or not free from death. It's a light marshal behem malach hamavis. The angel of death didn't rule over them.
Hoots me the last day.
Oh, one second. So what does the Medrash say? Kevin should also Isai Maisa, when the Jews did that deed, meaning they made the golden calf, Kos Aleim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem got angry at them, V'amar Lahem, and he said to them, Sovar HaYisi Shiti Yulofanei Kimalach Ersharis. I thought that you were going to be in front of me like the ministering angels. Here it says like, not better than, but like ministering angels. Shinemai says in the Pasuk, Ani Omarti, I said, Elohim Atem, you are Elohim. And Elohim in this context doesn't mean gods, but it means powerful entities. And angels are called Elohim, they're called powerful entities. A judge is also called an Elohim, a powerful entity. Elohim doesn't necessarily just mean a god or a Hashem or whatever. It can also mean any powerful entity. So Hashem said, Ani Amarti Elohim Atem. I said, you're going to be powerful entities, you're going to be like angels. Uvnei Elyon Kulchem, and you're going to be like sons of the upper realms, all of you. V'achshav, and now, Ochin Kodom Temusun. However, you're going to die like Adam, like a regular people. And that is a pasuk that we say in the Shir Shal Yom on Tuesday, last pasuk in the Shir Shalom. Ani Amarti Elohim Atem, Uvnei Elyon Kulchem, Ochin Kodom Temusun, Uch'achad Asarim Tipolu, etc. Right? The end of the parak. Pay Bays in Tehillim. Hashem said we're going to be like angels, free from death, it seems to be saying. Free from death. But now that you've sinned, ka'adam achan ka'adam temusun. It's an interesting thing. You can read it like this. Achan ka'adam temusun doesn't mean now you're going to die like all other people. Say achan ka'adam temusun, now like Adam Harishon, you're going to die. Achin ke Adam, like Adam, as a proper noun, ke Adam, like Adam to Muslim, you will die, right? The Klal Yisrael is going to die in the same way that Adam Rishon is going to die. There's a lot of parallels, as I mentioned earlier. There's a lot of parallels between the Egel Zohav, the sin of the golden calf, and the sin of the Eitz Hadas. The first parallel is in the beginning, the first beginning of how the sin started. By the Eitz Hadas, it says, how did the sin start? By Tera Ha'isha Ki Toi Ve'etz L'Malcha V'Chisavu Hulaynayim. The woman saw that the tree is good to eat, and it's enticing, and she wanted to eat from it. But Tera, she saw it. Okay? And what does it say by the Egel Zav? Vayar Ha'om Ki Boishesh Moshe Loredes. The nation saw that Moshe Rabbeinu delayed in coming. So again, the sin of the Egel Azov also begins with seeing something. The Chazal tell us that the means don't go after your eyes, because the eyes are called the sirsur lavera. They're the middlemen towards doing sin. Because what happens is, what says that? Ayin raya v'lev chaymed. The eye sees something that it wants to do a sin with, and then the heart desires the sin. So the sin starts with the eyes. The eyes see something that it wants to do, and then it goes and it makes a desire and it wants to do it. So you see that by the chet of Adam Rishon, you see that also by the Egel Azav.
The Egel Azav was a seeming, they didn't see anything, that's the point.
It wasn't a physical seeing. It wasn't a physical, yeah, it was an understanding.
So it started with,
I mean, what's it called? Chava also, L'chara, says she saw that it's good to eat. How do you see that it's good to eat? What does that mean, you saw that it's good to eat?
It was after Nachash told her that she
only I can see one of these fake, you know, one of these fake pomegranates hanging in the sukkah. Looks like it's from from plastic. It looks like real, looks like it's something good to eat. But it's not really a pomegranate, b'chol. Seeing is nothing. Smelling it, maybe that's something. Tasting it. But how do you know that by seeing something that it's good to eat? You don't really. You see it and it makes a desire. It doesn't really tell you that it's good to eat, no?
That's what Rashi just says, what you said.
But that it wasn't a real seeing.
Yeah, Rashi just says that she understood that Chas V'Shalom she could get to the level of Hashem.
Right. But the Shad is like this. We assume that the way we understand it is before Klal Yisrael sinned with the Egel Azav, there was no death. Right? And after they sinned, there is death. Right? So there's a lot of different questions you could ask about this. One question, we'll throw out a question like this. We know, we saw in Perek Memhei, that the women and the Levites didn't sin with the golden calf. Right? So then why do women and Levites die? They should live forever, because the only reason why people die is because of the sin of the golden calf. So why do women die? They didn't do the golden calf. Why do Levim die? They didn't do golden calf. What are you guys saying?
I have an answer, but you could say it's a work of work.
Yeah, I know.
Tafkara as a lady is in order to be Ezer connected. That's what you see in the Pasuk. So if there's no Ezer connected, he doesn't have a Tafkid. And Levim is a Shoy Zamizol.
And Levim?
It's in the Pasuk. The Shoy Zamizol.
Mishara say, I hear. It's an interesting idea.
So it sounds like Moshe Abenu here. Hashem wanted to return the whole world to Tov Avoy because of Bnei Yisrael. Say, okay, wipe off Bnei Yisrael, let the other nations live. But without Bnei Yisrael, you don't have to have the other nations.
You're saying good tirades. Saying like, we swear, just if the woman is supposed to work for her husband and the husband doesn't exist, the husband gets Misa, so the woman also. And if Levim is supposed to work for Klal Yisrael, Klal Yisrael has Misa, so... I mean, the truths are on some similar lines.
Similar thing also, I don't know where they...
You judge the whole nation as a whole. The nation as a whole did a sin, so they get judged on as one big unit. Even though there were technically individuals within that unit that didn't do the sin, but the whole collective responsibility. What do you want to say?
No, I mean, similar thing, I don't remember what the recovery this is, that all the hardships anybody has to go through nowadays also comes from
Yom Paktiv Fakadati Alechem.
That's
a pasuk, and Chazal say En Lecha Perenies that come to the world except for it has partially to do with Egel Azav.
About the VM women, right? So, also.
Also what? Judged as a unit.
Okay, yeah, unless you could tie to that. We're on the Gugulim, so maybe whatever, you know, maybe not. Otherwise, the pasuk is kosher.
Well, that's a Nisra Sla Hashem Elokeinu, no?
What?
That's a tiny up here, Nisra Sla Hashem Elokeinu for a Gilgul and that,
no? No, but you can get tiny to tomorrow like that, I don't know, yeah, fine.
there's an interesting Shiloh like this. We read it like this, Ochen Kadam Temusan, you're going to die like Adam. You could read this in two ways. You could say that originally when Adam sinned from the Eitz Hadas, so that brought death into the world, right? Originally Adam was supposed to live forever, he sinned by the Eitz Hadas, so he brought death to the world. Right now, when the Jews were at Har Sinai, the Gemara says Pascha Zuama, that dirtiness came away from them, and they came free from death. Right? When they sinned by the Egel Azav, what happened now? Achen Kadam Tumusu. Now you're going to die like Adam. Does it mean like this? Does it mean this is like a Lamdisha question? Does it mean that just like Adam did a sin and because of his sin, he brought death to the world. So too, you did a sin. You did the sin of the golden calf, and now you brought death to the world by the sin of the golden calf. Is that what it means?
Or
does it mean that just like Adam sinned from the Eitz Hadas and he brought death to the world, so too, when you sinned by the Egel Zohav, you're going back into the way people were beforehand, and you're going to be like a regular person from before Kabbalah Satorah, that you're going to die because of the Chet of Adam Rishon.
Oh, but even so, like...
You hear the question first? I mean, the question is...
Is the reason
why people die because of the Egel Zohav nowadays, or is the reason why people die because... Since they did the Egel Zohav, now they're like all other people, and they die because of the Eitz Hadas.
What happened to the Goyim at the time when we got Matan Torah?
Right, there were
millions of Goyim.
They all died because of Eitz Hadas.
They all died because of Eitz Hadas.
Right. So the question is, did Jews, because of the Egel, they became like Goyim, that everyone dies because of Eitz Hadas? Or it's like a new thing. Now we die because of the Egel Zav, and they die because of the Eitz Hadas.
The cast you were asking before by women in Lviv. Because
that's a youth thing.
Even if you're going to say it can go back to originally, why should the original Eitz Hadas be dispassionate on Lviv and women? So... And if you're going to tell me it's a new thing, so I can also clear that maybe the new thing also goes to everybody in Klai Yisrael. Why is it Tali in the Afka?
No, you're right. I'm not going to use this to answer that question.
Okay.
But you're right. This is just a general question. How do we look at what happened over here by Matan Torah?
I'm saying that when they were receiving the Torah,
yeah,
they became immune
to death, right?
To death. So just sort of that was a gezerah, getting the Torah. There it's Israel.
Well, the women didn't get the credit. Wait a second, I got an answer. There were 600,000 crowns that were brought down.
Yeah.
But that did not include the women and the Levites.
Right.
So they were like uncrowned. So they didn't gain anything and they didn't lose anything.
Why were they uncrowned?
Because he's saying, we said 600,000. 600,000 only includes B'nai Yisrael, the men between 60, okay. 20 and 60, and it doesn't include
that's
the Levites, it doesn't include the women.
Question then. They didn't
so, say no,
Nasev and Ishma?
No. I don't know, but he wants to say that when we're saying that they were free from death or whatever, yeah, it's only talking about the men from 20 and 60 and not the Levium.
Yeah, so what about the people older than
so they never,
than
they never got that to lose it. That's an interesting thought over there. That's what it would sound like from the manager. She's right.
But
there is such a mashmos.
That, yeah, but the simple understanding would just be everybody. 600,000 somehow includes the Levim and the women. It just means all Klal Yisrael. No?
It says a number.
I would have
said. It's hard to argue with a number. You want to
it never
say,
says how many Jews there were, but it says there were 600,000 men.
Right.
And of course, 600,000 doesn't literally mean 600,000. It means 603,550.
Right.
They just round to the biggest number. That's common. But it generally just it means Am Yisrael. And even though it's not the Levim, obviously, because they're always counted separately, they're still part of Am Yisrael. So, I don't know.
So you want to say that even though it doesn't, the mashmos, it's a good question. I hear what you're asking. I don't know what to say about it. Akoponim, so we have, it's an interesting shiloh. Why do people die? Is it because of the chet of the Eitz Hadas, or is it because of the chet of the Egel Azov? Comes along the Ksav Sefer. The Ksav Sefer was the Ksav Sefer's son. So the Ksav Sefer and Parshas Akev brings a raya that the reason why people die nowadays is because of the Eitz Hadas, not because of the Egel Zav. Why? Because the Tur, in Hilchos Shabbos, the Tur brings down that one of the reasons why do we light Shabbos candles, Ner Shel Shabbos, why do we light Shabbos candles, Erev Shabbos, why do women light Shabbos candles? It says because woman, meaning womankind, Chava, extinguished the light of the world, meaning she brought death to the world. Because she brought death to the world, so she has to bring light into Shabbos, so she lights a Shabbos candle.
Maybe it's for the Goyim. Maybe it's death that she brought to the Goyim. And maybe Klai Yisrael is...
So what does that have to do with us?
So it's our job to fix the Goyim also. So, I mean it's not a right. You're right. Pastor, you're right.
This is what the Tur says. So Ksav Sefer wants to say, oh, you have a riot from the Tur, that the reason why people die, why we die now, this is because the Eitz Hadas, not because the Egel itself. Once I saw this Ksav Sefer, I decided that I have another tour that's a better raya.
No.
The Balaturim in Parashas Emor, talks about there's a prohibition that a male Kohen is not allowed to become ritually impure for a dead body. Not allowed to become Tamei Meis. Right? The halacha is, it says, Emor el Kohanim b'nei Aaron. B'nei Aaron v'lei b'nois Aaron. Right? Only the male Kohanim have this prohibition, not the female Kohanim. So the question is, why don't female Kohanim have the prohibition of becoming Tamei Meis? Why only the male? Why, we're being chauvinistic over here? What's the difference? So the Baal HaTurim, Chumash over there, says the reason is because women, they brought death into the world. So of course you can't tell them to stay away from Tumas Meis. They're the ones who bring Tumas Meis. That's what the Baal HaTurim says. So the Baal HaTurim, the Chor, is talking about Jewish people. He's not saying like Stam talking about the... because brought death to Goyim. We're talking about nowadays, you bring death to the world, so we can't expect you to stay away from Tumas Meis.
Nowadays, bring death to the world,
no, because we're saying that you, Bnei Aaron, who bring death to the world because you're descendants of Chava, I guess, so you can't be expected to keep away from Tumas Meis.
Or you're saying, you mean it's behavior, you know.
Right. It's a similar raya to what the Ksav Sefer wants to say, that nowadays death goes from the Eitz HaDas, not from the Egel Azov. Okay, if you hear that it goes from the Eitz HaDas, not from the Egel Azov, so you could say that like once Klal Yisrael sinned with the Egel Azov, so now everyone went back to being like Legoyim, like everyone else in the world, and then it would include the women and the Levim as well. Okay, Rabbi Greif might argue on that, but that's like the Pashtus, that's what it would mean.
Can I say short, like, nice little word?
No, yeah, one nice little word.
Last little word. It's very nice because in this week's parsha, the Hashem prevented Adam from eating the Eitz HaChaim.
Yeah.
But it over here, it seems like they were given the Eitz HaChaim, Mazeh HaTorah.
It's hard.
And therefore, they were to live forever. And then they did the
Chet
HaEgel, but the Eitz HaChaim was is l'chor the Torah that was talked about.
Initially, we have a pasuk. Eitz Chaim hi lemachas zikim ba.
It's
talking about Torah.
Talking about Torah.
Yeah, I'm saying we see that here. The Torah is like, called Eitz Chaim.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Literally
Eitz Chaim.
It's Taina or Chita or.
Now, we'll go a little bit weiter soon, but there's one more vort that I want to say over that it could be we're making a whole mistake in how to look at this thing. We're assuming that when the Medrash says that they were le mashal behem malach hamavis, that means that there was no death for them. The Jews didn't die. They were free from death. Right? There's a Sefer who takes a slightly different approach. It's Rabbeinu Bachaye in Sefer Kata Kemach. Rabbeinu Bachaye says that before the Chet HaEgel, so Jews would only die Misas Neshika, which is the death of a kiss from Hashem. After the...
what's the Chiddush by Miriam? It was after Matan Torah.
After, yeah.
Who else
said Neshika? Moshe and Aaron also. And after the Chet HaEgel, so then Klal Yisrael would die from the Malach HaMavis. That's the Chiddush. That before, of course you always die. There's no such thing as immortality. Of course you're always going to die. The question is, what type of death? Are you going to die a death of Mrs. Neshika, of a kiss from Hashem? The kiss of death? Or are you going to die, that's a mafia term, or are you going to die from, you're going to die from the Malach HaMavis. So when our Medrash says that they were free, it says, Loi Mashal Behem Malach HaMavis. By Matan Torah was Loi Mashal Behem Malach HaMavis. They're not going to have the Malach HaMavis anymore. And they'll die only from the kiss of Hashem.
Because of the Eitz HaDas, they have to die with the...
Yeah, everyone has to die because of the Eitz HaDas. The question is, what type of...
Eitz HaDas is not Mishchapi Ad Wasid Lov either.
Maybe. So then when they sinned by the Chet HaEgel, so then they got Malach HaMavis again. And then, so what's the Nafkamino? So there's a Sefer from the Klei Yakar. The Klei Yakar, Ephraim Lenchitz, he wrote a Sefer, Drush, called Sifsei Das, in Parshas Chukas, Maimer Reish Nun Dalet. The Klei Yakar in his Sefer Sifsei Das, he writes like this. The difference between Mises Neshika and Mises Malach HaMavis is whether or not there's Tumas Meis. But Mises Neshika, there's no Tumas Meis. It was Rishenim that say such a thing. The Klei Yakar, in his Drush Sefer. But there's Rishenim that say, by Mises Neshika, there's no Tumas Meis. The Ramban Chumash that sort of says this.
Anyone in like Halachic Rishenim, like in Paiskim, say such a thing, or just Drush?
It's not going to make a Nafkamina in Halacha.
Because we can't know?
Because we can't know Pashtus. And also, I heard from Rabbi Elio Diskin that Shlita, he wanted to have say a diuk in the Ramban on Chumash, who says this, that by Mitzvahs Neshika, there's no Tumas Meis. He has there's a diuk in the Ramban. The Ramban says, like, Min Adin, there's no Tumas Meis by Mitzvahs Neshika. So Rabbi Elio Diskin wanted to make a diuk that even if Min Adin, there's no Tumas Meis by Mitzvahs Neshika, but like at least Midra Baran, there would be, like plug, because we don't know who's Neshika or who's not Neshika. But it wouldn't make so. So that's what it says. The Koyakar says that if you die Mrs. Nishika, if one dies Mrs. Nishika,
if one dies Mrs. Nishika,
so there's no Tumas Meis. If one dies with the Malach HaMavis, so then there is Tumas Meis. So what his vart is, he wants to say that the chait of the eagle Zohov, that's what brought Tumas Meis to Klal Yisrael. That's what made it from Nisus Nishika to Nisus Malach HaMavis. It brought Tumas Meis. And with this, he wants to say Pshat and Rashi in Parshas Chukas. A very interesting Rashi. Rashi brings in Parshas Chukas by Paro Duma. He says, even though we know that Paro Duma is a choik, it's a statute, we don't understand the reasoning behind it. He brings from Rav Meisha Darshan. Rav Meisha Darshan says that Paro Duma, I have a mashal about what Paro Duma is like. He says, it's like You have a baby. A baby comes and it soils the whole house and makes it dirty, whatever. So it makes your palace dirty. Right? It makes the king's palace dirty. So the king says to the baby's mother, "No, go clean it up. Your baby made the mess, so you go clean it up." So too says Moshe Adarshan. That's what Paro Aduma is. The baby, the Egel Azohav made a mess, right? Which we're interpreting as it brought Tumas Meis into the world. It made a mess in the world. It brings a mess. This Tumas Meis. So the mother, the calf, the calf's mother, the heifer, the red heifer, the Paro Aduma, should come and clean it up. And that's how the Paro Aduma gets rid of Tumas Meis. I mean, it doesn't really explain how exactly it works, but it's a mashal. It gives us a little bit of a better understanding of how it works.
So here's a question: how did the goyim die? Let's say before Matan Torah.
Yeah, it's a das.
You know, that's the reason. But did they die?
Did they die Malach HaMavis or Neshika?
All right. And how about the 4/5 of the Jews that died in the Plague of Darkness? How did they die?
I don't know. Is
that Tumas Meis?
There's a question whether a guy has Tumas Meis or not.
And there were Jews who had Tumas Meis.
That what?
Before Pesach, hence Pesach Sheni.
Right.
Just to add to that.
Right, because they were carrying the bones of whatever Yosef or something like that.
That was after the golden.
Yosef died before.
Or they were carrying the bones of Nadav and Avihu.
Yosef died before.
They dealt with Nadav and Avihu.
Yosef died before Matan Torah. He had Neshika Lefidus, so.
No, it was. We're not saying everything before Matan Torah. We're saying between accepting the Torah and the Egel, just in those 40 days. Yeah.
Neshika. Because there were certain people who passed away in that period, probably. I guess, yeah.
Misdumba. I mean, naturally, yeah.
Or you could be saying that if someone would have passed away, there would have been.
Or in theory, yeah, it could be. It's only theoretical.
Or you could be saying that. Yeah.
40 days. But what about the Jews who died in Mitzrayim?
Yeah, you asked that. I don't know.
Well, they died because they ate us, the stomach, no?
They also died because they didn't want to go to. It's not clear.
But what are you talking about, Marcus Choshech or
Bechlo? Yeah, you're talking about the 4/5 that died. But Uncle Panu, if you want to say like this word, basically it comes out from this word that. Of course, people are always going to be dying. The shaila is, what type of death is it going to be? Okay, whatever. You could say based on. I'll stop at that. Let's go weiter. Rabbi Yehuda says, "Kol zman she'adam levesh bigdei tifartei, as long as a person is wearing clothes of glory." He is beautiful in his sight and in his honor and in his honor. Kvoidai means honor and yikaroi means honor as well, because yakar in Aramaic is the same thing as kavod in Lashon HaKodesh. I don't know why the Medrash repeated kvoidai and yikaroi. It could be the Radal is trying to answer this question, but I don't know how he exactly answers it. So just like a person who's wearing his clothes of glory, he looks very nice and he's very honorable. Kach hayu Yisrael, so too were the Jews. Kishayu loyv shen oisei Hashem, as long as they were wearing that crown that had the shame of Hashem on it, the crown of glory. They were as good in front of Hashem as the ministering angels, because they were wearing those fancy nice clothing or whatever. They looked good. Right? They, in the eyes of Hashem, they were very important. Here it says again, Kim Malachi Asharis. It doesn't say more than Malachi Asharis. There's a pshat that Rabbi Yomi Isma wanted to say earlier when it said that they were Toivim Mi Malachi Asharis, they were better than Malachi Asharis. He wanted to say, no, Mi Malachi Asharis doesn't mean better than Toivim Mei. Rather, it means Toivim Mi Malachi Asharis, because of the Malachi Asharis. Because the Malachi Asharis gave them these crowns, that's why they were good in the eyes of Hashem. That's how he wants to read it. Hayu Tovim Lefnei Kadosh Baruch Hu Mi Malachi Asharis. From meaning on account of the Malachi Asharis that gave them these crowns. So Rabbi Yomi Isma wants to read it. I wanted to read it, maybe you could say, based on something else Rabbi Yomi Isma said in Perek Mem Hei, Mem Vav, we said over there that the Malachi Asharis complained to Moshe Rabbeinu. They said, why are you giving the Torah to the Jews? You should give the Torah to us. And the lashon that they said was that they said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Lo nitna Torah ela lamanenu. That's the lashon. So Rabbi Yomi Isma over there said that Lo'inan Torah Elo Manenu means that Hashem is only giving the Torah to the Jews because of us, because we ate Pasul B'chalav, where we spoke about over there, because the angels ate Pasul B'chalav when they came down to earth, so then they lost their chance to get the Torah, so therefore you get the Torah. So you could read it like this: because of the Malachi Asharis that ate Pasul B'chalav, that's why the Jews ended up being Tovim Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Me Malachi Asharis because of those Malachi Asharis that ate Pasul B'chalav. Alright, so could be Zeshtagol Drush. So what happens? Fine. So now they do the Chet HaEgel. Kevon Shosu Oisei Maisa. Once they did that deed, the deed of the Chet HaEgel, Kos Elayim HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hashem got angry at them, but Omer Lahem, Hashem said to them, this is the Pasuk, Hared Edecha Me'alecha, take your adornment from upon you, Ve'edo Mo'e'ez Alach, and I will know what to do to you. What does that mean? That night, Yardu Malachi Asharis, the ministering angels, came down. Shishim Riboy, 600,000. Keneged Shishim Riboy Shel Gibor Yisrael, corresponding to the 600,000 strong men of the Jews, meaning the 600 men between 20 and 60. V'not lomehem kol echad ve'echad mashinas lehem. And each of those angels took the crown that it gave them. The Gemara in Shabbos actually says it was 1,200,000 angels that came down and took the crowns. Because the Gemara understands that each angel can only take one crown. And the Gemara said that each person had two crowns. So you take 600,000 times two is 1,200,000 angels came down and each one took a crown. So they...
I have a tarot, maybe.
Yeah, what do you want to say?
The only thing I can think of is that each angel is called, their name is by the tafkid.
Yeah.
So Be'etzem, each person giving, maybe the tafkid is giving the crown to you know, Reuven Chaim Ben, whatever. So the angels had that same tafkid. So really they both had the same name. So in one way it's Nechshav, they're called by 600,000 angels. And on the other way they're called by double the amount because the Be'etzem different beings.
You only needed one angel to leave each. If you needed one angel for each crown to remove it, you didn't only needed one angel to each crown to give it?
Yeah, you're asking the question over here, but not over here when they
right, because the Gemara, if I'm not mistaken, when it says that they got the crowns, it doesn't say how many angels gave the crowns. But when it says how many angels took away the crowns, it says explicitly 1,200,000. Okay, it's a slight machlekes between the Pirkei d'Eliezer and the Gemara. A slight machlekes over here. Okay, I mean, according to your answer, if that's true, part of the tafkid would be like take the Nasa crown or take the Nishma crown, no? That's already like too detailed.
Maybe yeah. Just take the crown. We don't care which one you take. You take this one, the next one.
See, so it wasn't so organized.
No, take the crown because the job will get done. You tell. you know, we make two angels, you call, whatever you name it, take away, you know, Chaim Yankel's crown. So we'll take one away, and then the next one take the other one away. Unless it makes a difference for some reason, which one's taken away first? I don't know.
Yeah. The removal of this crown, we're going to see weiter, is similar to what happens with Adam Rishon. But Chaim Falachi points out that it says, Ba'isa Laila, that night. So he says, why does that happen specifically at night? Because it happens specifically at night so that like people won't realize that they lost these crowns. It won't cause extra suffering because they'll see that their crowns are being taken away because it's night. And he compares this to Adam Rishon, that his rib was taken away and Hashem created a Chava at night. So that, you know, he was sleeping, it was at night. So he wouldn't see it happening. He wouldn't have to go through that pain.
Adam Rishon was created with a middle of Friday, right?
Yeah.
A middle of Friday.
Yeah, that's a good question.
And he's chased out of Gan Eden before Shabbos.
Everything happened before Shabbos.
Because Friday night, I mean, what we call Leil Shishi, that's when the animals are created.
Right. You're asking a good question. You're saying, where was the night that happened? I don't know.
Adam was created, I think, later on Friday. I don't know where the right...
There are Midrashim that... What?
You made the list.
Wait, hold on a second. Where does it say that Adam was mamash created during Friday day? Was he not created during...
Back in Perkei Deberleazar, Perkei Aleph.
Ah. So, couldn't he's taking a nap on Travis? Maybe he's tired from Mishmar, no?
What?
He's tired from doing Mishmar Thursday night, so he took a nap.
Sleeping. Oh, yeah, he was at least sleeping. That the pastor said he was sleeping.
Did Hashem do any creation during the day?
Did Hashem do any creation during the day? That's a better question. Did he do it during the night?
I mean, during the night, that's what I meant. During the night. I mean, did he start creating, let's say, at 9 p.m.?
So, way back when. Somewhere we discussed this in one of the earlier prakim, the creation was only during the day. All the days of creation was just during the day. So the 12 hours of night of each of those days, Hashem wasn't necessarily creating.
So if you figure it's a 12-hour day, and each 1,000 years is a day,
yeah,
then year 5750 would either be 12 noon if it's a 24-hour day, or 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Didn't we speak about this like 3 weeks ago?
I don't remember.
We said something similar to this.
I don't remember.
We were talking about the year. You were there. The year 1991 would have been like the
day. Oh yeah.
I don't 1990
think
was
5750. 1990,
yeah.
Yeah.
Was the year of Sukkot?
Yeah.
That's
what it was.
That one, yeah, that's right. Oh, Lord,
No. We were talking about years specifically.
I don't remember that.
But yeah.
Yeah. Let's go by there. So, what happens? We're not lo mehem kol echad mehechad mashal echad. Fine. V'nimtzu arumim shalai kirtanim. It comes out that they were naked, arumim, at least naked from those crowns, shalai kirtanim, not according to their will. Shinemar says the puzzle of Ayin, snatzlu b'nei Yisrael. B'nei Yisrael was stripped. That's how art schools translate. They were stripped. Vayinatzlu enksiv kan doesn't say they stripped, meaning they would strip themselves. Ela vayisnatzlu. They hisbael. They became stripped. Baal karcham. Meaning somebody else stripped them forcibly, took away those crowns from them, and then they became stripped, became, so to speak, naked from those crowns. Yeah, for the record, I made quotation marks when I said naked. Yeah. Like, The Radal wants to compare this to Adam Rishon. We said that before the Chet of the Eitz Hadas, in Perek Yudalad, we said that Adam Rishon's kasnus or was some sort of nail-like clothing that Adam Rishon wore over his skin that protected his skin. And then when he sinned by the Eitz Hadas, so he lost that nail-like clothing, and just the nails by the fingers remained. I mean, people had something like this over their whole body, and then when they sinned, they lost it.
That's not the clothing that Esav inherited. And all that.
No. So we spoke about this back then. That there's different mafresh. What does it mean, kasnus or? But Perkei Deberleazar understands that it's this nail-like clothing. So the Radal says that you can compare this to the chet of the Egla Zov. By Adam Rishon, they sinned, and then they became, so to speak, naked from that nail-like clothing. And then Klal Yisrael, they sinned by the Egla Zov, and then they lost those crowns, and they became naked of those crowns. And some say, it wasn't that the angels came and took away the crowns, rather, the crowns peeled off on their own. the Radal wants to say that you here it sounds like the crowns were like stuck to their body somehow, whatever exactly that means. It became like a part of them, just like the custom store became a part of Adam Rishon, and then it like peeled off when they did the sin. As opposed to saying that angels came and took away the crowns, he's saying that it peeled off on its own. Fine. This was all the introduction to what we're learning about tonight. I love saying that. Fine. Right. Rebbe Omer. Rebbe says, Kol yeshiva sheyashu yisrael bamidbar, also lehem avodah zarah. Every time that the Torah says a lashon of yeshiva, of sitting, when the Jews were in the midbar, it's an expression of avodah zarah. And we'll see in a moment examples. But the idea is, because what does it mean to sit? When a person sits, the Radal sort of says this. When a person sits, you're like, okay, now I don't have to do anything. Now I'm done doing things. I can sit down. I can relax. Everything's going to be beseder. I don't have to work hard. I don't have to, you know, try to do the best that I can in Torah, Maaseh Tovim, whatever. I can sit down. I can relax. Sit down. And then that brings...
Not the yeshiva referring to in Kol Nidu, yeshiva Shamali, yeshiva
Shabbat. No, yeshiva means sitting down. We'll see. It means, like, dwelling.
No, I know it's not the same mashmas, but I'm asking...
No.
Maybe it's the yeshiva of Kedusha and yeshiva of Lumas.
No, that's a different idea. That's...
We're not getting into that.
No.
The dictuk of yeshiva.
In Parshas Vayeshev, Vayeshev Yaakov, Be'eretz Megurei Aviv, Be'eretz Kanan. Yaakov Vinu sat in the land of his forefathers, and then the story of Yosef happened. Rashi says, Vayeshev, that Bikshu Tzadikim Leishev B'Shalva Ba'olam Hazeh, Tzadikim want to sit in peace and tranquility in this world, and Hashem brings all kinds of problems that makes life more complicated. Right? It makes life more complicated when you want to try to sit and relax. So the point is that you don't try to stop, sit and relax. That makes problems.
Mitzvah of Yeshivot, it's also different than the mushrooms.
Yeah, no, yeah, that yeshiva was spelled with two
yods. The yeshiva, a place where you
learn Torah. Yeah, whatever. It means something else. That means to settle it.
So it's melacha menucha v'yashvus, no?
So
yeshiva, not necessarily, it could be a parva term over here. It means it's a bad term.
Yeah.
So it could be in Kiddush also, you have to have a level of menucha. If a person, he has all kinds of thoughts and things are bothering him, then he's not able to learn. That's what it says in the Gemara, no? V'chaim al-tzavari, no?
Yeah.
In Kiddushin.
By getting married before
back you then, learn. I guess not today. Nowadays, people learn dafka after they get married.
Yesh v'yesh.
No, I'm giving examples.
How long
ago Halu was this? How long
ago Halu? I wasn't trying to get the... I'm giving Mishalom.
Yeah.
The yeshiva could be a good or a bad thing.
Yeah. But there's a certain thing of yeshiva that like you want to just sit down and relax. And that's what the Medrash over here is criticizing.
Like
the
person wants to live in L.A.
Yeshiva Bar-Bechof, right? So obviously there's two things.
But
we're not like here, you know.
The pasuk says, "Shenemer vayeshev va'am lachal v'shasoi vayakum le'tzachek." Right before the story of the Echet HaEgel, it says, "Vayeshev va'am lachal v'shasoi." They sat down to eat and to drink, vayakum le'tzachek, and they got up to make jokes, which Chazal tells us le'tzachek means gilui arayos, right? Immorality, whatever, sexual immorality.
And shvichas damim.
Yeah, and shvichas damim. Maksiv acharav. What does it say? Right after it says Vayakum Vayeshev Am Vayelechol V'Shasoy Vayakum Tzarek Maksiv Acharov. What does it say right after? It says the pasuk Osu Lahem Egel Masecha. They made for themselves an egel, a calf of Masecha of molten metal. Right. So they did a Avodah Zarah after it says Vayeshev. Similarly, because of Avodah Zarah, another pasuk says when the Jews were in the desert, it says Vayeshev Yisrael Bashitim. The Jews sat in Shittim. Umaksiv Sham, what does it say over there when they got to Shittim? Vayachalam liznais abnais mayav. The nation began to stray towards the daughters of Moav. What does it mean they began to stray? Zoy Avodah Zarah. That's referring to Avodah Zarah. We'll have to see exactly what that means. That they strayed to the daughters of Moav, that means Avodah Zarah. But what's clear is that we have two instances where it says that they sat. The Jews in the desert sat, and in both times, right afterwards, came about the story of Avodah Zarah. And from here, the Medrash is going to start talking about the story of the Jews straying after the Bnei Smoyov and the Bnei Smidyan. Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda says, he brings a pasuk. Atzas Rishoyim Rochaka Meni. The advice of the wicked ones distanced from us something. Right? What is it talking about? Ba'atzasa shel Bilam sheyoatz leMidyan, with the advice of Bilam, who gave advice to Midyan, Naflu Yisrael, they fell from the Jews, Esrim v'Arba'ah Aleph. 24,000 people fell from the Jews. So it means something was distanced because of some sort of evil advice. Is referring to Bilam giving an evil advice to Midian, which caused the deaths of 24,000 Jews. What's the story? Omar Lahem, Bilam said to the Midianites, he said to them, Ein atem yicholen lifnei ha'am hazeh. You are not able to withstand or defeat this nation. Ela im kein chotu lifnei barim, unless you can get them to sin in front of their creator. So what do they do? Says the Medrash, miyad asu chanuyos chutz l'machane Yisrael. Immediately, they made stores outside of the Jewish camp. V'hoyurayim lifneis midyan mechachaleis einein kizoneis. And the Jewish men would see the Midianite daughters. Mechachalis einehen. Mechachalis is like the word kachol in modern Hebrew, which means blue. They would make their eyes blue, meaning they would put these blue, what's it called? Eyelashes?
Eyeshadow?
Eyeliner?
Something like that.
What's eyeliner?
That's the black stuff.
That's the black stuff?
You mean
makeup. Blue makeup.
Eyeshadow.
Eyeshadow? So the Midianite women used to put blue eyeshadow on their eyes. Kizoinos. Like, women of ill repute, v'so acharehen, and the Jewish men strayed after those women. The pasuk v'yachal am leznos al b'nos Moav. The nation began to stray towards the daughters of Moav. So they came up with this whole, what's the word in English? Kumbina, right? They made this whole what's the, how do you say it in English? They made this whole contraption.
They made a trap for them.
They made a trap, an entrapment. To entrap the Jewish
so
men.
If you want to get a mice, you put some food inside.
Yeah, they made a trap to get these Jewish men to stray and end up doing bad things with these Midianite women, these Moabite women. Well, what's happening over here? We'll have to see in a moment. Because the pasuk says, "Liznais al b'nais Moav."
Doesn't say Midian.
Right, it doesn't say Midian. Our Medrash said that Bilam said this to the people of Midian.
It could be right? He told them to tell
and
them.
Then, and then it says that that the B'nois Midyan made their eyes look nice. And then then it brings a pasuk that says, V'yachal Am was nice on B'nois Moav. But we just said that it was B'nois Midyan. And we just jumped to B'nois Moav. And then later on in the next parsha, in Parsha's Pinchas, when Hashem wants to take revenge, so he says, Nikoyim Nikmas B'nei Yisrael Me'ez HaMidyanim. Right? Because they were B'nichlehem Asher Niklu Lechem Al Devar Pa'ar Valdar Cosby Bastum, whatever, right?
Maybe that they teamed up.
Oh, they teamed up. So one pasuk was talking Dafka about Moav, one's talking about Dafka about Midian, and they switch. What happened?
It could be that the Benois Midian went to Moav because it's a closer base to the camp of Israel. There they set up the workshops and they give the passionate speeches, you know, the loudspeakers, and they went around the town villaging saying that everyone does it, you know, is gonna go, you know, straight
there. Gonna get 70 white grapes.
Then afterwards, then they went to the, you know, and set up the camps. You know, the Moiv...
Ever, it's a long story.
The Shiach HaMoiv gave a long speech that everyone's going to take, is going to make the Yehuda sin, is going to get, you know, a special Gan Eden.
Right.
And join the Intifada.
So, the Bible says the Barbanel in, I don't remember if it's in Parshas Balak or in Pinchas or whatever, maybe it's in both. The Barbanel wants to say that really we're only talking about B'nai's Midian. Really it was only Midianite women. Why is the puzzle Moav? Because like Moav was like considered like higher class. So the Midianite women dressed up and they pretended to be Moabite women. So when the Jews were being mezana with them, they thought they were being mezana with Moabites, but they were really being mezana with Midianites.
How does Rashi answer? I don't remember.
Think about that.
Who says this?
Who says this?
Yeah.
The Barbanel.
Barbanel.
This is from memory. I don't. Kubi, he doesn't say it exactly the way I just said it, but.
Yeah, because Moav was Bnei Loit. Whereas Midian, they're half Bnei Ketu, which was just Hugo, which is Bnei Chom, which is from Mitzrayim.
Yeah, it's the Shiloh of Midianites were black or not. Were the people.
Why would they be black for?
What?
Why would they be black?
I don't know.
Hold on, it was
from what? What's his name? Yisrael Lachar was from Midian, right?
No, he lived in Midian. He lived in Midian. The Gemara says
he was a Mitzri, and Tzipora thought that Moshe Rabbeinu was a Mitzri because what?
Because he's dressed like a Mitzri, he spoke the language maybe.
But was he black or he wasn't black?
Moshe could be his very tan skin.
You know, like, but Mitzrim were black, because Rashi and Parshas Lach Lecha says the Mitzrim were black. But Moshe Rabbeinu was black or white?
No, Jewish. It could be he was very tanned.
Jewish.
It could be he was like...
No, but what made Tzipora think that it was an Egyptian man that saved her?
Right, what I'm saying, it could be it was
the clothes,
like...
clothes, even though his skin was a different color?
No, it could be as close to black, like you know, the Temanim, the very, very dark.
Yeah.
It could be Moshe was very, very dark skin, very suntan, like...
You're saying it wasn't mamish black, but it was like something different?
And amongst the Mitzrim, it could be some of them were more like...
Why are we talking about this? But I forgot where we got.
Where's the Benois Midian? What color were them? I'm saying that it could be that they also came from Avram and from Keturah, right? So like, you're not going to have a mixed marriage, so they look like both. It could be some of them are white, some were dark, some were...
Yeah, I heard.
It could be they're like a mixed color. And, you know, Moav were also Semites, you know, they lived in a pretty hot land. You know, Moav had a lot of sun.
Right.
So it's possible that they look similar to each other.
Binyan was from Cham?
Who?
Midian is from Cham.
Midian, he said, is from Avram Avinu and Keturah.
Keturah is Hagar.
According to the Medrash, there's a Medrash that says Keturah is Hagar.
Is that one Midian? Is that one Hashem? Avram is not mentioned by Zanach.
No, it's after. It comes from Avram Avinu.
So why?
Because Hagar was a Mitzvah.
Which is from Cham.
Which is Cham, yeah.
Ah, so you're saying they can get the black from that. Okay.
But Avram Avinu was white, obviously. So it could be that they came
obviously,
out like in the middle.
Obviously, why obviously?
So Minion's like Obama.
You're being recorded, by the way.
I know.
Anyways, the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Daf Kuvav. The Gemara says, yeah. What was your name? Should I say what city you're from?
My ID number is 1234567891010.
Yeah.
I come from Little Lake City.
Little Lake City. From is that Utah?
It's a Northwich, New York.
Lake Glass.
Four hours from Rochester. Yeah. You get there by ship or by plane.
Akapan, the Gemara in Sanhedrin Daf Kuvav paints the story a little bit with a little bit more detail over here. Basically, what they would do is the Midianite women would have, they would be selling, what's it called? They would be selling linen garments. Actually, there's a midrashim that say that they were selling spices, fragrances. But they were selling goods, right? And what they would do is they would have an old lady selling them outside the store. And then they would have a nicely dressed younger lady inside the store. So you go to the, you'd walk past and you'd say, oh, there's an old lady there, she's selling goods or whatever. So I'll speak to her, right? You start speaking to her and she'll tell you, she tells you a price. She tells you, you know, she'll tell you a cost price or something. Right, and then okay, so that's how much it costs. Then you hear a young lady in from inside the store saying, no, I'll give you a better deal, I'll sell it to you for cheaper. So of course you go inside the store and you deal with the younger lady, because every good Jew wants to get a good deal, right? That's just the way it works.
Well, here's a Shimoni, not a Yehudi.
1 second. So you go inside, rules? Right? And then, so the Gemara says that, you know, after 2-3 days, you become more familiar with the lady inside over there, whatever. And then she says, oh, you know, you're Ben Bayit, so why don't you come in, we'll schmooze, we'll have a drink, right? And then she brings them what he says is Ammonite wine, what the Gemara says is Yain Ammoni, a pitchers of Ammonite wine, which apparently Ammonite wines were known a known aphrodisiac in the ancient world, right? You know what an aphrodisiac is?
Never heard the word.
Aphrodisiac comes from the Greek goddess of love, Aphrodite. Aphrodite? I pronounce Aphrodite.
Venus.
That's the Roman goddess.
Yeah, same one.
Mm-hmm. Ashtoreth in Russian, in Canaanite pantheon. And in the Babylonian pantheon, her name was Ishtar.
So it's the same one?
Yeah, just different names. But most of it is like that.
So Shem Chomanyof is all Serbian. Because you mentioned nations from Shem, from Chum, from Yofith.
Yeah.
You mentioned white, black, and yellow nations.
It's related to the Chavri Shaina. It's related to Chavri Shaina, like that.
We don't talk about her. Who, Lily?
Whatever, yeah. Is that this related later or no? Or Heinrich?
It could be it's based on the mythology of her. I don't know. The idea is like this. So the Ammonite wine, which is an aphrodisiac, it makes men have a lot of taiva. So these young women would serve the Ammonite wine, right?
They didn't know that it was that kind of wine, I guess.
Because we know that this is before there was an iser to drink Goyish wine. Right? So you're allowed to drink Goyish wine. So we're going to see later on this parak about drinking Goyish wine. So they drink the Goyish wine, and then their taivas would get a hold of them, right? And then they would proposition these young Midianite women. And then the lady would say to him, well, if you want me to listen to you, you have to... She would pull out her little poor god from her pocket. Say, all you have to do is bow down to this little poor god. And the Gemara says the Jew would respond, what do you mean? I'm a Jew. How could I bow down to an Avodah Zarah? So she says, don't worry. You don't have to do like a real Avodah Zarah, like bow down or offer a sacrifice. No, that's all you have to do. All you have to do is reveal yourself. Right? That's the Avodah Zarah. Baal Pa'ar is where a person just has to reveal themselves.
Relieve,
reveal, whatever.
They go to the bathroom on it.
Yeah, go to the bathroom on it.
Number two.
So then, he would end up doing it.
Oh, like the Nusa Davai Dazar is a mitzvah.
Wait a minute.
According to them.
Yeah.
So why is that related to the Rav's? Like, what's a bja?
No, because that's the way of worshipping it, yeah.
Well, how's this not onus? How is this Avera and not onus if they drank this wine?
Well, they shouldn't have gone to...
First of all, they shouldn't have drank the wine. The shaila is how drunk are you? That's a shaila. You're right. In general, the halacha is that if a person does something out of drunkenness, it's considered an onus. You're right. That's the halacha. It's considered an onus. Only if the Kesef Mishnah in Hilchos Yibum, I think it is, says that it's only considered an onus if you were magiel shichus shalait, which is like mamish, really, really, what's the expression? Very drunk. Right?
Adel Yada? Was that the other before that or after that?
Adel Yada. The Ramah has a sefer on Megillas Esther called Mechir Yayin. The Ramah in the sefer Mechir Yayin says, what's the idea that you're supposed to drink on Purim Adel Yada? Because if you drink Adel Yada, you become so drunk that anything you do, you're going to be potter from. So he says, like, we know that because when people get drunk and they get happy, whatever, they end up doing things that they're not supposed to do, like damages and maybe averas or whatever. So the Ramah says that Chazal instituted that you should get so drunk that you wouldn't be held responsible for what you do. That's what the Ramah says. It's a very problematic Ramah because there's a whole question about this in the Gemara in Pnei Yeshua Mesachas Ksubis towards the beginning. What's the halacha if I put myself into a situation where I become an oinus?
Like alcohol being a good example of that.
Yeah.
You drink.
I drink it. Now that I'm completely drunk, but I don't know what I'm doing. I don't have my inhibitions. I can't control myself. But I, of my own volition, went and drank it. So is that called an oinus or not? So the Ramah and Mechir Yayin seems to be saying that is called an oinus. But in other places, it sounds like that you can't put yourself into a situation of onus.
So the Gemara in Brachos, Rabban Gamliel's sons.
Actually, asked us to Nelson Tzvi Finkel once on Purim.
And what did he say?
What?
What did he say?
He just smiled. He didn't answer the question. Maybe he was drunk. I don't know. No, I don't think so. But,
well, but why is it an onus? He should know not to get drunk. It's an issue to get drunk. No?
Is it an issue to get drunk?
I think it is. No.
Which issue? What is there? Is it?
I don't know. I've never seen such a thing. There's a problem with getting drunk.
I don't know.
Before tefillah.
The Gemara says that
is
drinking.
Perhaps.
So is it
that is Baruch Sainan? Let's say if there's no issues, but there's a problem. If you know you get drunk and you might come to do certain things, then that's...
Yeah, I don't know.
Question. Why are they going to the tent if they see that there's a young girlish lady there? Why are they going to get to the tent for?
No, that's what I said, because they're getting a better deal.
Oh, but they should know that it's better to watch over yourself to get a better deal, no?
Well, that's the idea.
Are you going to go to the, you know, to...
That's honest, because it's money, so whatever.
It's a Jewish neshama.
You're going to go to, you know, some crazy neighborhood in order to get a better deal.
A lot of people go to the Arab neighborhoods right now, and it's dangerous to get a better deal.
No, yeah. Arab neighborhood is something else. That I believe you should go there because it belongs to us. It doesn't belong to them.
To go to Makola.
It should be dangerous for them, not for us.
It should be, but it isn't.
Well, so we have to show them that it isn't.
They asked me,
it's up to us.
Come home with us.
No, I don't believe in that. I believe opposite. We have to come to these neighborhoods.
No, that's only one thing, though.
They were trying to get me to go home.
Unfortunately,
it's dangerous.
It's dangerous.
Well, it won't be dangerous if there'll be enough Jews
coming. Wait a second, I wanted to make another point. What was I saying?
Because most people are, you know, making it like...
If you're, are you an anus? I don't remember. But the point is... I lost my train of thought. What were we talking about?
We're talking about if the... First of all, if they started getting drinking and they knew what could
come out... Oh, so why are they held responsible? Because... Because they initiated with the... That's first of all. The second of all, I mean... Okay, well, let's leave it at
most
that.
Most of the Shvatim knew not to go near these tents, right? Besides for Shimon, they knew, okay, we don't go there because we might get into trouble. We're not going to go into that chuk, right?
Yeah.
So the fact that they went there, the other Shvatim knew to stay away from there, they already saw something, no?
I hear.
It means that they knew there's something not good over there.
Yeah, but... Okay, whatever.
Davka from Shimon.
The point why I'm bringing that Gemara basically is because you see that there's the old lady who's gonna sell them outside for a cost price, and then there was the younger lady inside the store who's gonna sell to them for cheaper.
See, told me, right? I'd rather get the high price by an old lady than Chas
Shalom. So the Radal says that it could be that the old lady outside was from Moav. And the young lady in the inside, that she was from Midian. So the pasuk says, "Vayachal Yisrael liznois al b'nei, vayachal am liznois al b'nei Moav." They began to stray to the daughters of Moav. But who did they actually stray with on the inside? In the inside of the store with the young lady, that was the b'nei Midian. That's what the Radal wants to say. Or the other pshat he wants to say is that first they started off with B'nai Ismayav, and then it got so out of hand that they were even doing it with B'nai Ismidyan. Like, if you say, like we said before, like B'nai Ismayav are like higher class, B'nai Ismidyan the lower class. It's like first they started off with the higher class ladies, and then they went to even the lower class, which just like when it got out of hand.
Cosby was Midyan?
What?
Cosby.
Cosby. Bill Cosby?
Cosby's black. Obviously, Cosby is Cosby.
Well, what
Cosby is, she's Midian?
Midian, yeah.
Yeah, it says specifically.
It says in the pasuk.
Cosby is black, so there you go.
No, I believe in the other weren't white, they weren't black, they're in between, like Arabs, like dark skinned maybe.
No, Cosby's not Iraq.
I don't see why the color of the skin matters. Whatever, it doesn't matter so much.
Why did they stray after them otherwise? Obviously, that they wouldn't. They had to be like of a lighter color than if they strayed after them. I would say they're like Arabs. Like,
why?
A tan color.
I don't know.
It's obvious, I don't have to explain.
Okay, that's your personal taste. That's not necessarily everyone has the same personal taste.
Wait, you met anyone not like
that? I'm saying people have different tastes. I don't know.
Rashi says on Tzipora,
beauty is in the eye of the beholder, as they say.
And that she was very, that's very beautiful. And I'm not sure if Rashi
meant... Midas, maybe.
No, it meant...
Physical?
No, she was Kushi. Rashi says, not on Tzipora, on somebody else. Kushi.
Tzipora.
Was Tzipora?
Yeah.
Someone was a Kushi, and she was black. And that's beautiful, and Cushy women are beautiful. But I'm not sure if Rashi is saying it in they're ugly, and he means beautiful to use it in a good word, or Dafke, did you mean that black women are beautiful?
Well, she is the daughter of Yisrael, so she was...
I see
what I'm saying? It's in Chumash, it's a Rashi in Chumash, their black is beautiful, whatever.
No, it could be it's a douche, because you have the Rashi in Lech Lecha. Which is the Fakert, so you could say that it means that Kushis is literally, that was her skin color. Now Rashi says that she had very good midas, maybe.
20. Wait, so what time is it? 20?
9:20.
9:20? What time did we start? 8?
8:15.
8:15 we started?
Probably. We got here at 8:07 or 8:08.
Okay, let's do a few more lines. We'll stop over here. It's getting a shtickle late. Shimon V'Levi, Kin... Shimon and Levi kinu al zima. Previously in history, Shimon and Levi, the sons of Yaakov Avinu, kinu al zima. They were kanoim. They were zealous over the case of zima, over promiscuity. Shenemar says, "Can you make our sister into like a prostitute?" They made a macha. They protested the fact that Shechem raped their sister Dina. The Hanasi shall shave at Shimon, yet over here in the story of B'nai Ismael and B'nai Ismidyan, the prince of the tribe of Shimon, he didn't remember what his grandfather, what his descendant, what his ancestor had done. That Shimon and Levi wiped out the whole city of Shechem because Shechem raped Dinah. And over here, the prince of the shave at Shimon doesn't remember that his ancestor was such a kanoi against Znus. V'loy gar bebachurei Yisrael. He didn't scream at the Jewish bachelors who were sinning. Not only that, Elohu v'asmai b'farhesia ba biznus al midyanis. Rather, not only did he not protest other people sinning, but he himself went in public and had illicit relations with a Midianite woman. Shinemar, it says in Pasuk, v'shem ish Yisrael hamuke asher hukas al midyanis Zimri ben Salu nesi beis av lashimoni. The man who was smitten through the Midianite woman, his name was Zimri ben Salu from the tribe of Shimon, from the sea base of the Shimoni.
But if he didn't bow down to the idol, what was his violation?
Well, let's say, I guess. First of all, who said he didn't bow down to the idol? First, right now we're criticizing him for not holding himself back in terms of Znus. We said before in the Gemara that it said like that the woman would only agree to do it if you did the Avodah Zarah as well. So it could be the assumed criticism, the underlying criticism is both. It's not clear exactly which way he meant.
I believe personally, I saw somewhere that Zimri was nichshol two times.
Two times in what?
The first time he was nichshol, he went together with other people of Shimon to the tent, you know, where they're selling the stuff, and he was nichshol over there about with the lady inside the tent.
And then he went back and did it again.
And then what happened was Moshe summoned the Nesim to make a bezdin of every shevet besides for Zimri. He didn't invite him because he already was nichshol, right? He wanted to judge him. And then Zimri a second time was nichshol, this time just with the roiv. So
yeah, did. I think I remember the Sefer Tzurah Hamor, I think, from Saba.
But so then Shium HaGatas, you know that Sefer Shium HaGatas?
Oh.
It's a big swarm.
I think we're going to stop over here, sort of. But the point is that the Pasuk says, Zimri ben Salu nisi beis av l'shimoni. Now, our Medrash says that he was the Nasi of Shevet Shimon. He was the prince of Shevet Shimon. If you look in the Pesukim, the Pasuk doesn't say he was the prince of the tribe of Shimon. It says, Nasi Beis Av LaShimoni. He was the Nasi, the prince of the Beis Av, of a family. Beis Av means a family of Shimon. So he wasn't it sounds like from the Pasuk, he wasn't the prince of the entire Shevet Shimon. He was the prince, or he was the head of a family in Shevet Shimon. That's what it sounds like from the Medrash, from the Pasuk. Our Medrash says explicitly he was the Nasi of Shimon. He was the Nasi of the whole Shevet. So how do we understand that? So there's two approaches. The first approach is the Marzu. The Marzu says, he brings another Medrash. The Medrash says that Zimri ben Salu is the same person as Shlumiel ben Tzvi Shadoi, who was the Nasi by the inauguration of the Beis HaMikdash of Shimon. And he's also known as Shaul ben Akananis, which is one of the sons of Shimon. Shimon had sons Yemuel or Nemuel, Yamin, Ayhad, Yachin, Tzaihar, or Tzaihar, and Shaul ben Akhnanis. So the six sons of Shimon. Right? So one of the names of Shaul ben Akhnanis was Zimri ben Salu. So Zimri was not just an important figure in Shevet Shimon, he was actually the son of the grandfather Shimon himself. So based on that, the Marzu wants to say that if we say that Zimri ben Salu was a son of Shimon himself, he is the Beis Av of Shimon. He is the patriarch of a family of Shimon. And he was also the Nasi of Shimon. So it's like two things. Nasi and Beis Av l'Shimoni. He was the patriarch of a family and he was the Nasi of the tribe in general. That's what the Marzu says. I find it a shtickle problematic, because the Medrash said that Shimon and Levi had kanos; they were zealous over this znus with their sister got raped, right? And this guy, the nasi of Sheva Shimon, he didn't remember lo zochar masha also. What's the next word?
Shimon.
No. What's the next? Lo zochar masha also zikenai. He didn't remember what his zikenai did. What does zikenai mean?
The great grandfather.
It means the least grandfather, if not an earlier descendant. So it's hard to say that we're talking about a son of Shimon.
It's
hard to say that Pirkei de Eliezer would tell you that we're talking about a son of Shimon if it says the word Zekenoi. Should have said Leizach Mashasa Aviv.
It's much more from the Malbim in Divrayim.
That what?
When he speaks about the sons of Shimon and the grandsons and the great great great, then he says, he skips out a few generations, then he says Shalom Banai. He says Shalom, that's Nasi Shimon Shulmiyim and Tzvishadi. Just that he skipped the generations, he only wants to put out the important guys, whoever was a Nasi. Sounds like he's a few lines down. On the other end, I saw another Agad that he says that he Taka was a son of Shimon, and he got the bad midas from Shechem because, you know, Shechem had a relation with Dina.
With Dina.
And then he gave birth to Osnas, right?
Right.
Afterwards, you know, it says that Shimon married her.
Married her.
And she gave birth to Shulmiel. But even though it wasn't from Shechem, right, it was actually his son, right?
So it's like some sort of like STD or something.
No, it's
like Zuma.
Yeah, it went in.
It went into Dina, a certain bad
like an
genetic.
STD.
It went into her, and so that came out in the son.
But some medrash says that Dina had a daughter, and Dina's daughter was Asna.
Yeah, right. It's not a contradiction. I didn't say it comes from Shechem. It comes from Shimon.
It's
not a contradiction. It could be that she had a son from Shechem, and then from Shimon she had a
sensuousness is a
meat. But nevertheless, because she had a relation with her, within her, it got mixed in with her DNA.
How could Shimon marry? I always wondered how could Shimon marry Dina when, as part of Seven Noach had laws. Brother and sister couldn't get married.
Oh, so we spoke about this way back when we spoke about Osnas. One of the answers given is based on the Targum Yonason that says that originally Rachel was pregnant with a daughter.
Oh, and they switched.
And they switched, right?
How does that answer it?
What?
How does that answer?
So you could say that your relatives are determined by who you were. Who you were conceived from, not who you were born from.
You mean that's more important?
Which has implications for the halachic status of surrogate motherhood and stuff like that.
Which really she is from Rachel.
We spoke about that back then.
Yeah, I remember. Yeah.
Al-Kupanim, so the Radal says a different approach. What does it mean? Nisi Beis Av L'Shimoni. It says that the Medrash here, it means Beis Av means Nisi Beis Av L'Shimoni. The Medrash is darshaning it as if it said Nishi Beis Av L'Shimoni. Nishi or Nashi. In Aramaic means forget. So Nashi Beis Av, the one who forgot Beis Av LaShimoni, the house of his father, the Shimonite. That's what it means. Zimri ben Salu, who forgot Nashi, what his father or his ancestor Shimon did, that's what it means. He forgot what his father, because we said that Leizokar Masha also says again, Leizokar. So the word Nashi Beis Av L'Shimoni, that's how the Radal wants to darshan it. There's a lot of things I wanted to discuss, but it's getting late, so I think we're going to stop over here.
Oh, because I disturb you a lot, that's why.
No, it's because of Moshe.
Yeah. Who to blame now? Like Beis Adas, I wouldn't blame the other person.